Good morning. All right. I just praying yesterday. Love praying on Saturdays. If you have not joined us at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings for prayer here in the auditorium, you are missing out because it is amazing. I'm just going to plug that a little bit. But anyway, yesterday as I was praying and I was talking to the Lord, this is what, you know, he wanted me to kind of talk to you guys about this morning. And I'm just going to read what I wrote down. It says, you may think you are your own, but you are not. All humanity belongs in two categories. And Mark has taught this. If you have Facebook, he does a little 90-second video, and he's been talking about two atoms. You are either of one atom, or you are of the last atom, Jesus Christ. So there's two categories. You have the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God, or you are in the kingdom of darkness. There is no in between. You belong to either or. So you realize that we were created to belong, period. We are created and longing to be part of something greater than ourselves. When you belong, when you belong, you are influenced by and you're obedient to who you follow. Okay, let's take, for example, a little boy who watches his father all the time. What does that boy wound up doing? He's all the time imitating what he sees daddy do. So that's the way we are. That's the way we should be when it comes to the things of God. Imitate what the Father does. Jesus, it says in John 5:19, it reads this: Jesus says the Son is able to do nothing of himself, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. And again, like that son with his daddy, imitating what he sees his daddy do. So remember that the ultimate obedient son lives on the inside of you, yearning to follow what the Father is doing and doing what he sees the Father doing and what hears and sees what the Father is doing. So I just encourage you guys to follow the Spirit. Follow the Creator that's in the inside of you. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Praise God. We're just, we get to have Christ on the inside of us, to live on the inside of us. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I think around verse 20, he says that it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me, lives through me. And he says, so the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God, not just faith in the Son of God. Amen. But it's his faith and his life that is living through us. And so we get to be imitators of him and imitators of God. And as we submit to the will of God in our life, he says he gives more grace. Somebody say more grace.
More grace.
More grace to the humble. Do you realize the privileges that you have as a child of God? You are a child of God in the same way that Jesus is a child of God. You know, a lot of times we separate ourselves, you know, from Jesus. You know, we got Jesus here, and yes, all of creation bows to him. And don't get me wrong, but here's the thing. We're in Christ. Somebody say, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
I mean, and the Bible says that they that are in Christ have put him on. You are clothed with him. And Jesus said, Father, that they would know that you love them with the same love that you have for me. And so the Father loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. What an amazing privilege. We have sold ourselves short in our own opinion of ourselves. We have sold ourselves short in the way that we view ourselves sometimes, and in the way that we think God views us. God loves us. God sees us through the blood of Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 as I kind of gear up. Let me just encourage you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. The Lord just kind of prompted me on this. But if you'll look here at verse 18, it says, you have not come unto the mount or to the mountain that might be touched or that burned with fire. He's talking about Mount Sinai. He's talking about what happened in Exodus chapter 19 and 20 when God himself gave the Ten Commandments. And so I'm not going to revisit that from Wednesday night. But he talked about which voice they had heard and treated that the word. When they heard the voice of God, here's what happened. They were so afraid of the voice of God. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. They heard the voice of God that as he gave the Ten Commandments, they said, look, that's enough. That's all we want to hear. Moses, you can just talk to us and we're good with that. Okay? And so it created fear in their heart. Why? The law does that for people that are unrighteous. The Bible says that the law was given for the unrighteous people, not for righteous people. All right? And so when we are in our Jennifer talked about those two states. You know, you're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of God. You're either, and I hate to say it this way, I mean, we can say that you're a child of first Adam. All of us are born into, not life, but we're born into spiritual death. We are born slaves. We are born enslaved to sin. We are born enslaved to death. We are born as slaves and spiritually dead in the sense that we're separated from God. And so 1 John makes a clear distinction between those that are children of God and those that are children of the devil. And you're in one camp or the other because Adam sold us out. He sold humanity out and allowed sin to come in and allowed death to come in and through it allowed Satan to come in and become the god of this world and to influence men. And because we were without strength, Romans chapter 5 says, when we were without strength, we had no strength to be able to do what God wanted us or to live the way God wanted us to live. And make no mistake about it, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says, I have set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God was never trying to get us or to take things away because he didn't want us to enjoy life. Actually, God had a better plan. God had a better way. And he says, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll listen to my voice, if you'll follow me, you'll experience a life that you didn't know was possible. So Jesus, when he showed up on the earth, said, I've come to bring heaven to earth. Pray this with me, Father, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. He says, I've come that you might have life. He started that out by saying the thief doesn't come but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And let's expand that just a moment. A lot of times we say, that's right. That's right. The devil is a thief. The devil is a liar. The devil is, yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, the devil is coming to try to steal you, your dream, to rob your joy, and to kill your life. But also recognize the tactics of the devil. And there are other things that are out there that also have the same aim, and that is to distract you from the things of God. All right. So don't just blame everything going on in your life on the devil. Sometimes we make choices. We set priorities. The kingdom of God has been pushed aside for my daily work. The kingdom of God has been pushed aside for my family. The kingdom of God has been pushed aside for all the political talk radio. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to get on your talk radio. The kingdom of God has been pushed aside. Should I say it, Lord? Should I say it, Lord? For Alabama and Auburn football. In other words, great, nobody got up and left the building, so praise God, y'all still love me. In other words, there are things, there's nothing wrong with Alabama and Auburn football. Come on, give me a little grace here. It's just that it's become a religion. And God said, you will have no other gods before me. And I think in Alabama that, I won't go that far with it. So Jennifer says, you can't dig yourself out of this hole. Those things, if not balanced in its proper place, if the kingdom's not first, if we're not seeking first the kingdom, then those things will serve to distract you with an aim to steal you from experiencing God's life. See? Now, we can enjoy all of these things. God gives us richly all things to enjoy, but making sure that priorities are right, see? And so Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm teaching a series right now. You've got the goods, or you got the goods. Say, I got the goods. I got the goods. And so really what he's talking about here is that we're not come to this mountain that might be touched and burned with fire. We're not under this where they entreated and they were saying, you know, in verse 19 here, not to be spoken. I don't want to hear this voice anymore. And they could not endure that which was commanded. And even in verse 21, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's not the condition for a child of God. That's not what God is asking out of his children. In verse 22, wow, they're having a lot of fun back there. Holy cow. That's awesome. Oh, man, check this out, guys. Wednesday night, we had like, Wednesday nights have just been increasing and increasing. We had 11 kids here. Four children got saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost just this past Wednesday. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you what, things are happening. Look at this. But you are come unto Mount Zion. We've come to a different mountain, and if you want to know more about it, you got to look at Wednesday night, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're citizens of that city right now, of the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Look at verse 23. You have come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Who's that talking about? Jesus. We're the church. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the last Adam, the Bible says. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You have come to the Spirit. God has washed you. God has cleansed you. God, Jesus, because of what he did, has made you righteous, has made you holy, has said you are now sanctified, you are now cleansed, and now you have come together. Man, I just want to preach Wednesday night all over again, but I'm not going to do it. You have just come together now to all the blood-bought, blood-washed, pure, righteous spirits of men. When you became born again, your spirit that was disconnected from the life of God became born again, became reborn, connected to God. You are one with Jesus, one with his spirit, the Bible says. And now you got the life of God on the inside of you. You are now firmly moved from the kingdom of darkness. You're firmly moved to the kingdom of his dear son. And you're a part of the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. I get so excited about this. This is so amazing. We have come now to the spirits of righteous men that have been made perfect. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
You need to see yourself the way God sees you. You have been made perfect in your spirit, man. And so we get to allow the rivers of life to flow out of our spirit. Come on. Guys, do you understand the privileges that we have? Do you understand what your inheritance is? Romans chapter 8 says the Spirit of God is witnessing to us. He's crying out to us. He's trying to tell you, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Abba, Father. We get to call the Creator of the universe. Abba, Daddy, Father. You know how blessed we were last night to be surprised by our kids, our children that are all from different parts of the country, to have come and surprise us yesterday, and you know, and You understand the joy in our heart. I mean, that we experienced, I think I've never seen Jennifer so happy in our entire life. She danced, she cried, she laughed, she screamed. We were so blessed that all of them surprised us this way. But think about, that's just a very small example or small taste of how blessed the Father is when His children come into the kingdom. When His children say, Dad, Father, and stop acting like slaves and servants and we're just unworthy and we're just, no, He came to make you worthy. Colossians chapter 1 says that He made us meet. He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. And Romans 8 then goes on to say that now the Spirit witnesses to us that we're His children. You're His child. You're royalty. He's made you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are kings and priests to the Most High God. And we still walk around as if we're nothing. If we still walk around as if we're still trying to achieve it, we're still trying to attain. And this church, Life of Faith, this church has an understanding and a realization of who you are in Christ Jesus and who Christ is in you. And the Bible says that we are now heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. Listen, what does that mean? Okay, and why are we going this way? You got the goods. Say, I got the goods. Because when you understand that you got the goods and that you're joint heirs with Jesus, then now you can go out and you can allow the river of life that is on the inside of you and the kingdom of heaven and the resources and go out in the authority of Christ, who is the King of kings, Lord of lords, go out and now minister that life to other people. You got to see yourself. Now look at the scripture here for a second. So we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but it says here that we have come to the General Assembly, verse 23, and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, verse 24, and to Jesus. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to us non-Jewish people. We may not understand what the blood of sprinkling is. Okay, now he's talking about the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, there's power in the blood. Almost want to do that. There is power. Come on. We got the whole band here. We might as well. What'd you say, Seth? You can do it. The blood of sprinkling. Hold your finger there and let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 10. And so here he's talking about what has happened. Man, there's so much here. If you'll look at, he's comparing sacrificing bulls and goats to what Jesus did. And so in verse 9, Jesus said, Lo, I've come to do your will, O God. And in doing that, he took away the first covenant that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he has, that's a past tense thing, by the way, for by one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Amen. That's a one-time event that Jesus did to perfect you forever. I'm not trying to be sanctified. I've been sanctified. I've been made perfect. I've been made pure. All I'm doing is letting the reality of what is true about me in my new born-again spirit to begin to change my heart, to begin to change my thinking so that I can live out of this new nature. And so in verse 16, this is the covenant that God said I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Wow, that would be so great if it was true. I said that would be amazing if it was true. That would be amazing if what God said he actually meant. That it would be amazing if I didn't have to, you know, David said, you know, that I write your laws on my heart, that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And why? Because they had to meditate in the word day and night. They had to keep that, you know, because everything from a word standpoint, get a hold of this, follow me on this for a minute. Because remember, you've got two categories. You have first Adam, you have last Adam. Last Adam, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says the first Adam became a living soul. Last Adam, talking about Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. All right? You were born into last Adam, and you received from his nature, which was a sin nature, and you were born spiritually dead. And see, this is what you've got to realize when you take this gospel to other people. You're trying to help people not just go to heaven. Thank God for that. But you're trying to help them experience heaven in their life right now. If you haven't noticed, this world has issues. And so what people need is they need freedom from depression. They need freedom from oppression. They need, there's an increase in the suicide rate that is happening around the world. It's not just America. It's happening in, when we went to Mexico back in January, they said the suicide rate between high school students is going through the roof. People are without hope in this world because governments failed them, because other people have failed them, because philosophy has failed them. There's only one hope, because when you are born into slavery, only a free person can set you free. So all the counseling is not going to set you free. It can help, but now you're trying to deal with problems from the soulish realm, from an emotional standpoint. The reason why we have, with respect to my kids, you know, this millennial generation doesn't have a good rap, reputation. Very self-focused, very me-oriented, very me, prideful. But it's because they came out of the baby boomer generation that was also very me, self-focused. So it's not all their fault. It's because of the shift that our culture has gone in. But all of that is all, it's all flesh. It's all soul. It's all emotion. It doesn't produce life, see. And so what God had to do to try to help get people over into a place of life is say, look, here's my commands. Here's my laws. Now, meditate in them day and night. Think about them. It was all external. They needed to go to synagogue. They needed to listen to it. They needed to hear it. They needed it to come in this way, because it wasn't here. Jesus said over in Mark chapter 7, let's turn to that scripture and look at this real quick. We're going to come back here in just a moment. I'm trying to make a very clear distinction. Remember, the idea here is to help people move from being one of the crowd, say one of the crowd, to believing in Jesus, to being a believer. So one of the crowd, there's three types of people that listen. There was one of the crowd that listened to Jesus, maybe believe, maybe not, to actually being a believer. And then in John chapter 8, he says to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my what? Disciples indeed. So the goal isn't just to get people saved. because they can be saved and still be miserable. The most miserable person is a born-again Christian that still struggles with sin, not an unsaved person. Because now you're trying to live life struggling against the new nature, and nothing ever fits right.
That's right.
You can't ignore the new nature. It's God's always talking to you now. See, so we want to help people move from being one of the crowd to a believer to actually being a disciple and continuing in the Word. Amen. And so where did I tell you to go? Mark chapter 7. All right. In Mark chapter 7, I can find it real quick without looking on my notes. This was the condition of mankind, and this is why Jesus came. And so you need to recognize this when you're talking to people, because in verse 15, Jesus said, there is nothing from outside of a man that enters into him that can defile him. See, they were all about, what were they doing externally? How were they living externally and saying, if I do this right, if I clean my cup, if I clean this, if I don't, or if I eat, if it's certain foods have touched it, then that's going to make me defiled. Jesus said, no, it's not what's outside that defiles. It says, but the things which come out of him. And so what he said is in verse 20, he says, that which comes out of a man defiles the man, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, that greediness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. This is what our world is facing today. This is what every person that is born into the earth, this is the way, this is their condition. See, humanism and philosophy will tell you that men are basically good. It's not true. Men are basically not good. You take two 2-year-olds and put them in the room by themselves. If you dare. And give one of them a toy. What's the other one going to do? Want that toy. I tell you what. Give the other one a toy. Another toy. What's the first one that got the first toy going to want to do? Want the other toy. No, mine. 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 They don't learn that at home. They learn that because they're born with that nature. First Adam. They're born with the condition, a predisposition towards sin. And they are without strength. So when you're ministering to people, and you need to recognize where they are. They're in a place that, you know, instead of judging people for being drug addicts, instead of judging people for having the problems, for making wrong choices, for, you know, for all the things, recognize that they're just doing what they were born to do. Romans 5, when we were yet without strength, we could not overcome. We were enslaved to sin. All right? So go back over to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, when God said, this is the covenant that I make. So our issue wasn't a sin issue. Our issue was a heart issue. Our issue was there was something going on in our heart. So, you know, even during the days of Noah, God said every imagination and every thought of man's heart was evil continually. So when God said, I am going to make a covenant with them, verse 16, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Now what he's talking about is a solution to the problem. Now it's not about an external commands that I've got to keep. Now it's about fixing the human condition. Right. Now it's about fixing that part that Adam gave away, that separation from God, and now it's about a heart change and a new heart. See? It's powerful. Now, don't be so simplistic with this thought that you say, well, this is true for unsaved people versus, and let's get people that are unsaved and bring the unchurched and let's bring them into the kingdom so that God can change their heart. Take it a step further than that. Apply it to your own life. First of all, I'm just going to make this bold declaration. This is a way that you've got to approach the Word of God. This is what transformed my life. There were things that I read in this Word that I said, like what I said a while ago, I wish this were true. I wish that I was free from sin. Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Well, that would be great. But that's not my experience. You know, Paul talked about, don't you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What? Don't you know that he that is dead, had been buried, you're dead to sin. How can you live any longer therein? That would be an amazing concept if it were really real. But that's not my experience. So I tended to look at the Word of God. Are you ready? I tended to look at the Word of God as something that I wanted to experience and something that I wanted to achieve and something that I wished would work in my life. And then constantly had questions about why isn't it working in my life? Why do I still struggle with sin? Why do I still struggle with this? Why am I not experiencing the life? Why am I not healed? Why am I? And comparing what I was living to what God was saying. And it was creating confusion, and it was creating doubt, and it was creating this frustration. Has anybody experienced frustration with their walk? And so the day came that I had to make a choice. Because this scripture bothered me. I will write my laws in your heart. I will put them in your mind. And that wasn't my experience either, because all I had learned is I needed to meditate in the Word day and night. And we went to Old Testament scriptures like Psalm 1, which are good scriptures, and we ought to do that. I'm not saying don't meditate in the Word. It's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that everything was still a work. Everything was still external. Everything was still something that I had to do so that I could receive from God. And so the more I did, the more frustrated I got. Because I did everything that I was hearing that I was supposed to do. And yet I was still struggling and still having problems. And so scriptures like this would frustrate me. Well, God, just do it already. Write your laws on my heart. Write your laws in my mind. If He said you're going to do it, when is it going to happen? Why don't I experience it? It's the frustration sometimes that we can fall into. And what was the answer? Romans chapter 10 tells us the requirements for salvation. As you go out and as you, we are here to know, to grow, and to go, right? Say no. Grow and go. When you go out, how do you minister to somebody? Well, the Bible tells us that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Do you understand the power? You know what? Hold your finger there. I'm gonna finish all this. I know we got our fingers in different places now. Romans chapter 10. But look at verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is your Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So my part in this is I got to believe. I said my part is I got to believe. And the moment I believe, and I don't want to start doing a tangent on faith, but the moment I believe, it activates or it allows what God has already done in Jesus Christ to come alive in me. Okay? But look at verse 10. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness." Now, this is so important, because I think that we miss this in our ministry to other people. I think we have so boxed this in to a simple formula that if I can just get people to believe in Jesus and confess with their mouth and they're saved, that's I've checked that off. They've done what you're now saved and you're good to go. But do they know what they're getting? Are we just giving them a get out of hell free card so that they can go to heaven and that's all there is to it? No, Jesus came to do more than just that. And it's important that people understand this. And it's important that the church get a hold of this. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And this is something that isn't taught very much, or that people have a real firm understanding of, because here's the thing. If you don't believe that you're righteous, and if you see yourself as just a sinner or as somebody that's just saved by grace, but you're going to continue to live an unrighteous lifestyle. And yes, we need to live holy. We need to be holy. But you know how it is. I mean, I'm going to mess up. And so we tend to, our language is not the language of the Bible. Our language is not what God says about us. We say things about ourselves that God doesn't say about us. That God says, all of your sins and your iniquities I have removed as far as the east is from the west. I have forgotten them. God says that, but yet we keep bringing it up. Why do we bring up what God has forgotten? And so we live in a past and we live in our mistakes when God sees us as forgiven and God sees us as holy and God sees us as righteous. And here's the thing, you will not get this. You will not experience. Father, give me the words to say this right. Hallelujah. You will not experience the resources and everything that is available to you as a child of God, as a joint heir of Jesus Christ, until you are firmly established in righteousness. Amen. What does that mean? Being right with God, being pure, being holy, being all of those things. With the heart, man believes under righteousness. And we're trying to get people to just be forgiven and to heaven without understanding their new nature, that they're righteous. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. James chapter 4, again, says that God gives more grace to the humble. As I submit to what God has said about me, as I submit to his will in my life, then what happens? As I start believing that out of my heart, what happens? I have just now opened my heart to the flow of the Spirit of God out of my belly. I need my heart. Listen, I don't need my heart to be a dam. I don't need it to say, I don't believe that, or I wish it were true, or one day I'll get there. Because every time I do that, my heart has just closed the door to the rivers of life that are sitting right here, ready, that's connected to the spirit realm, that's connected to heaven, that's connected to the throne of God. Out of the throne flows this river, glory to God. Out of the throne flows this life. It's a river of life that's available to me. But if I say, I don't believe, or one day, then what's happened is I've shut off the life of God from being able to operate in me. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And the moment that I say I'm going to be established in what God says about me. Now, that's what salvation really is. This is where the heart issue is. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'll go back to Hebrews 10. Let me start wrapping this up. This is the covenant I will make with them. Verse 16, Hebrews 10, 16. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart. What I had to do is I had to finally come to the place, just like I did the moment I was saved, I had to come to the place, God, I am going to believe what your word says. I am going to believe you over my experience. I am going to stop trying to see myself as lacking and trying to attain righteousness, trying to attain blessing, trying to obtain guidance, trying to obtain wisdom, trying to obtain joy, trying to obtain love. We see ourselves as trying to get to this place one day. And that's the people that you're ministering to. That's what they see about themselves. And just to tell them, let me tell you how to receive this, how to experience heaven on earth, how to experience freedom in your life. I mean, that's attractive. That's what people want. But you can never give to somebody what you don't have yourself. You can never help them come into the reality of righteousness if you still see yourself as lacking. You'll never have healing really flow out of you to others if you don't believe that God wants everybody healed and you're not firmly rooted in that. You'll never transmit joy to other people if you're not experiencing that yourself. And so what I had to do is I had to say, I'm going to believe what you said. God, you said you would put your laws into my heart and in my mind, and you were going to write them. And he says, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so since he said I'm not going to remember them anymore, he says in verse 18, there's no more offering for sin. In other words, for them, don't be bringing bulls and goats and offering for your sins for the past year. Well, the same thing's true for me as a believer. I got to stop trying to do things to prove to God that I've quit the habit, that I've quit this. We create our own sacrificial system so that we feel better about ourselves. And at the end of the day, it's still about me. Instead of about what he said. There's no more sacrifice. So having therefore, brethren, boldness, verse 19, to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. That's us. Let us draw near. Now my part is just to believe. My part is to draw near. My part is to say, God's cleaned my heart. He's restored my heart. He's made me righteous. He's changed my nature. He's forgiven me. He's written his laws. Let us now draw near with that true heart in full assurance of faith. Not just partial doubt, not just, man, I hope this works, not just, man, is this true? I wish it was. No, but in real confidence, in real boldness, because of the way that God sees me. Yeah. Having our hearts sprinkled. Remember what started this train of thought was we've come to the blood of sprinkling over in Hebrews 12. What is that sprinkling? Blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. represented the sacrifice for our sin, represented that the sacrifice to cleanse us from unrighteousness, to cover our sin, all of that was taken care of in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is the blood that now not wasn't just sprinkled on the mercy seat, but it says having our hearts now sprinkled. Look at this. Ooh, man. From an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Go back to Hebrews 12. Verse 23, you've come to Mount Zion, to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Your heart's been sprinkled from an evil conscience. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. And look at this, that speaks better things than that of Abel. What's he talking about? Abel was the first blood that was spilled, human blood, when his brother Cain murdered him. And that blood was crying out to God, saying, vengeance, 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 judge, 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 judge Cain, vengeance, avenge me, avenge me. And now the blood of Christ speaks better things about you. The blood of Christ now has a voice that says Jeff Thomas is pure, holy, and made righteous. That he is a son of God. It speaks concerning you. It speaks concerning the covenant that God has with you. It speaks concerning who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Who are you going to believe? You struggle with things, and you're dealing with a world that's struggling with things, what we are equipped to do is to step into the reality of who we are and take that to people. And so the next verse says, see that you do not refuse him that speaks. Don't refuse him, the blood of Jesus that speaks. In other words, the blood and the covenant that came out of that blood and God's relationship with us and what he's done in you says better things about you than what you say about yourself. And we have a choice every single day of whether or not we're going to believe what God has said or believe what our experience is. Because here's the truth. Everything, your soul, your body, everything in this physical, natural world has to bow the knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, before Jesus was in your life, he wasn't reigning over your life. Did you understand what I just said? Before you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you weren't under his lordship. You were enslaved. You were in another family. See, the whole thing is, whose child are you? Are you child of first Adam? Or are you child of last Adam? That's what I've said for the past couple of weeks. And you're not both. You're not both. You don't have two natures now. Okay? Read your Bible on it.
That's right.
You were dead, buried with him. Romans chapter 6 and Colossians 2 tells you, so that the body of the sins of the flesh, the nature of sin, that old man was crucified with Christ, cut away. Okay? Now, you say, well, I still sin. I'm still, you know, you're still acting like you believe that you are.
That's right.
We have bought into this dumbed down spiritual lie that that this is the human condition, that this is the way that we are, instead of setting Jesus as the model and just simply believing what is true and what he has said about us. You only experience heaven and you only experience what he has said to the measure in which you're willing to believe. And this is why, as he talks about our heart being sprinkled away from an evil conscience, why he says that we need to now hold fast with our faith. Amen. Believe this. Yes, refuse not what the blood is saying about you. Refuse not him that speaks. If there's a difference between what you're experiencing and what God has said, let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to agree with God, and I've come to this heavenly Jerusalem. Man, the rights and the privileges. So why do we still sin? I just don't even talk about that anymore. I think we're more sin conscious than we are Jesus conscious.
Yeah.
We focus on what we do and not focus on what he did.
Come on. That's right.
Focus on what he did and you won't have to worry about what you do. See yourself. I'm telling you, it'll transform your life, but it'll transform the lives of others. And so here's the truth. You've got the Spirit of God. You've got a new nature. Would you stand with me, please? You've got a new nature on the inside. You have been made holy. You have been made righteous. But you've got the goods. You've got everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Everything that you need right now. And so what I want to do is I want to take just a minute or two, and I want us to just see that. Dare to believe that. Dare to reach out for that. Dare to say, Father, I'm going to receive what you've said. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that as we just kind of let you, Holy Spirit, just work in us right now, that we recognize we don't judge ourselves according to what we're doing, but rather we judge ourselves in light of what Jesus did and in what the blood says and what the blood has done. And Father, we are firmly planted. We are firmly seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You have placed us there in that place of purity, in that place of righteousness that you have purified. And as we believe, as we trust, as we say, yes, this is what is true. With my heart, I'll believe unto righteousness. That new thoughts, new ideas, your thoughts, Father, your laws, your ways will begin to just come up out of our spirit man through our heart. That's the way that you're writing your laws and your on our hearts and on our minds by the Holy Spirit of God. You said in 1 John that we have the Spirit of God, that we know all things. We have all things that we need access to. And that, Father, what a privilege it is to get to pray those things out. We get to pray them out in the Spirit and just know that we get to walk. We don't have to hear it from somebody else. You'll use those things to confirm us. But Father, the fact that I have the relationship, guys, this is just what's on my heart right at the moment. If you have confusion, if you've been struggling, Jesus says that right now that he's come to set you free from all of those things. You're dealing with depression. You're dealing with oppression. You're dealing with confusion. You're dealing with, you're not sure about the future. You're not. Everything that you need is available to you right now in your born-again spirit. As you let your request be made known unto God, as you cast your care and the worry, see, when you're worried about stuff, it means you're trying to handle it yourself. You're trying to take care of it yourself. You need to let it go, give it to God. And then it says, when you've let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Why are you being thankful? Because you know He's taking care of it. You know, and you're staying rooted firmly in that. It says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's just do that. Let's lift these things that you are worrying about, that you still haven't seen a manifestation in your life about. Let's just lift that to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you are our Father. Abba, Father, that you care for us in the same way that you cared for Jesus and took care of every need. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you. I give you glory. Father, we thank you. We have all the wisdom that we need. Jesus is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness. All of the things that we need, Jesus, you're made to us. Lord, I just thank you right now for peace, 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 and joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you praise. See, it's a personal relationship. Now, take from that and know that you have everything that you need to go minister to others. I already had testimonies this week of people going out and ministering to others. You know, that God brought people across their path and they would just minister the gospel to them. Lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Minister to them. Minister to them. Minister to them. Share the love of God with them. Help them come into the same place. You got the goods. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord praise this morning? Hallelujah. He's so good. Thank you, Father.